Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is supported by Arion Talent Technology and Tools for your business. It's Arion.com. And Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service advertising, production, and consulting group here in the Des Moines Metro, InsideCube.com.
Welcome to the Business News Hour, ladies and gentlemen. We were going to have Mike Scherzan on with us, a businessman here in Central Iowa, but at the last moment, he called yesterday and said, you know, Michael, I'd love to be on the program, but I'm going to run for Congress, and I'm not doing any interviews before I go ahead and announce. Oops, did we just announce that? We just did, didn't we? So anyway, I'll look for that announcement from Mike Scherzan in the next several weeks. But I made a phone call, and we got Darren Fife with his brand new business. He's in studio with us. Our small business spotlight is going to take a look at EcoSource. EcoSource, a brand new business here in the Des Moines Metro. We'll find out more about it from Darren. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Great. Thank you very much.
You have always been in this space, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. Ever since college, I've had this pull towards the environmental field. So I've had this love for, and this desire to be able to do environmental work.
And you know, and you and I go back several years. You were the rain barrel guy in Windsor Heights.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're the chicken guy.
I hope I'm still the reigning rain barrel.
Chicken guy.
That's right.
Yeah. So you're into this whole sustainability thing, aren't you?
Yeah, I love this stuff.
Why?
You know, in college it pulled me in. You know, I don't know exactly what it was, but once I graduated, I got on with the Department of Natural Resources and a section of the DNR called the Iowa Water Section, and we focused on working with volunteers on water quality initiatives, and we did volunteer cleanups, and you know, it was. I think I can definitively say it was that pulled me in, and this desire to want to do something positive with, mm-hmm. with the type of work that I do, both professionally and personally.
So that started you down this realm of trying to clean things up or keep things more sustainable.
Yeah.
And then what happened? What'd you do this for? You started your own business, huh?
I did. You know, I worked for an engineering firm for the last 11 years, right. And it was great. You know, it taught me everything that I needed to know in this specific industry. And, you know, I thought there's a better way. There's a better way to do this where I can focus more on the quality of the work that I do versus the quantity of work that I'm pushing through the company.
Yeah, yeah. And you are also unemployable, aren't you?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I tell that to people all the time. You know, I am basically – why do you work for yourself? Because I'm unemployable.
That's right.
I could go to work at McDonald's any place. You
absolutely.
Know? But in 3 days, I'd be having the manager in the back room say, you know, there's a better way to do this.
I think you're right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'm with you 100%. So tell us, what does EcoSource do? What do you do for businesses? What do you do for individuals? Give us a rundown.
You know, as you know, I hate to throw the company into kind of that consulting category. There's a lot of negative connotations that come along with consulting.
No. I'm one of those guys.
No, absolutely. So consulting, what we do is essentially walk folks through an environmental process, whatever that process might be. If it's a regulatory-driven process, if it's permitting, if it's compliance, but it'll have some type of an environmental focus, and usually it's something that's required as part of a property acquisition or as part of a cleanup, but it's usually some type of a regulated activity that we specialize in that we can help walk folks through that process with as little pain as possible.
So let me give you an example. Maybe this is what you're talking about. There is on, I think it's 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, as you exit Windsor Heights and you come towards 235, there's an old gas station sitting there on the right-hand side of the road. Okay? It's been abandoned for a long time. So let's say the YMCA wants to buy that land.
Yeah. So, yeah, now you're talking my language. So typically through a process like that, when somebody identifies a potential property that they'd like to purchase, there could be associated environmental concerns with that. Mm-hmm. We can do some of that due diligence. We will look through the environmental history of that site, determine if there's any potential risk associated with it, or we can get a lot more intrusive and do some of the actual soil and groundwater testing associated with it.
So you don't do remediation, though?
We do. Yeah, we absolutely do. Yep, you bet.
Wow, you're
beginning to end, from contaminant assessment through completion, or you know, through no further action, is what we will assist with.
Wow. Okay. What are some of the basic calls that you tend to get? I mean, I understand sometimes regulatory, sometimes in buying property. What do folks need to know about being ecologically wise? Or, you know, what do they need to know?
It's a broad answer to that question. Yeah. So, back to the property example, you know, I think the biggest question is what kind of risk do I have associated with purchasing a property like this?
Mm-hmm.
And if we decide to move forward with that purchase, one, can we clean it up? And two, is there funding available to help us clean it up?
Sure.
And in the state of Iowa, we're lucky enough that a lot of the times the answer is yes. You know, if that release occurred prior to 1990, then we know that there's a state fund associated that, you know, you get a little piece of the gas tax that goes towards cleanup of underground storage tank sites. And so we can match the funding up with that. We can do the testing. We can determine, you know, what could be impacted from this contamination, and then most importantly, what do we need to do in order to clean it up?
Get it cleaned up. Now, you know, one of the big stories last week, I think it was, or maybe it was the week before, is the 75-acre Hubble project that's going on south of Martin Luther King Drive.
Right.
And in an old area where there was railroad tracks and tankers and all kinds of stuff. And
right.
From what I understand, they're going to have to spend a bunch of money,
yeah,
getting that cleaned up.
Yep, absolutely. I guess that's another reason why I like being involved in this process, especially from a small business perspective, because sometimes these types of activities can be extremely expensive, and especially when you're working with a larger firm. But when you have somebody like EcoSource that you can partner with to work through this process, we don't have the overhead as a larger company do. We can come in and we can do that work and walk people through that process as quickly as we can possibly get through it.
Are there special licensing arrangements and things like that that you have to have?
Yeah, absolutely. In the state of Iowa, to do that type of assessment work, you've got to be a certified groundwater professional, which I am.
I knew you from Rain Barrel.
That's right. And then you've got to, in order to pull tanks. So if you've got a site that has to pull the gasoline tanks out, you've got to be a certified remover. And we hold any of those licenses that are required to do this type of work.
And we've talked mostly about commercial property up mm-hmm. till this point. What about residential property? Some of that stuff matter there?
You know, a lot of times with residential property, you run into things, especially on the tank side, with, you know, old heating oil tanks.
Oh.
On the residential side, going in and redeveloping a brownfield, you know, or developing a site that's had an environmental history to it and moving it forward for residential use.
So this is almost like doing detective work to find out what that piece of property was used for.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the part I like a lot is uncovering the history of this site. Looking back through, you know, years and years worth of environmental records and worth of state records and just trying to put all of these pieces together to come up with an answer that makes sense for somebody who could be purchasing.
Now when you're testing the soil or the water or whatever happens to be in this space, we're talking, by the way, once again with Darren Fife, ladies and gentlemen, Echo. I said it wrong.
No, you're fine.
EcoSource. And we're talking about the ecology, the sustainability of property, and his relatively new business. He's in the small business spotlight today as we talk about this. When it comes to soil and water and testing, how many different things are you testing for? What's dangerous out there?
A lot of that depends on, one, what we have found through that environmental history. So we're looking for a lot of things, especially when it comes to gasoline sites. We're looking for the main gasoline constituents. We're looking for benzene and toluene, or we're looking essentially for gasoline and oils. When you get into other sites where you don't have that type of knowledge, whether, you know, what was in those tanks or what could potentially be on that site, then you have to broaden that spectrum a lot, and you have to do a lot wider range of laboratory analysis.
A lot of forensic stuff to find out what's going on here.
Yep.
Is most of your work, I would suspect, in the commercial area versus the residential?
Probably half.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. I do a lot of, you know, as we get back to that water quality portion, I do a lot of that work on the residential side.
Like what would that be?
Determining stormwater issues for site-specific stormwater problems, and how do we address some of these for our backyard? You know, we have ponding and puddling, and you know, what do we do to try to protect our basement and in our property? So we do some of that type of assessment work. Larger residential work, we do the threatened endangered species assessments. And wow. For development work, we do wetland delineations and try to determine what the wetland boundaries are. And if those wetlands are going to be disrupted, then what do you have to do?
Well, next? We talk about water and water quality and where it goes. You know, one of the big things I know lots of contractors, lots of developers are taking a look at is ways in which to take runoff from parking lots and roofs and other places to try to put that into a holding system someplace mm-hmm. so that it doesn't all at the same time head into water treatment and sewage, right?
Absolutely, yeah. This is the whole gray funnel versus green filter argument. So what we want to try to mimic in residential properties, or really in any properties, is to try to retain that water on site and try to utilize natural processes versus just putting it into a pipe and sending it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so if we can have wetlands, or if we can have rain gardens, or you know, whatever it might be, is just trying to utilize the processes that naturally can occur in order to clean that water, remove that water, and put it back into the ground versus putting it on the streets or, you know, down your driveway.
I think this is a fascinating conversation because so many people have become so much more aware
right.
of the environment today than what they had been maybe 15, 20 years ago. And as you said, you know, from the pipe rather than, you know, just sending it down to the stormwater.
Right. Yep.
What impact this is kind of a loaded question, but when we take a look at our processes up to this point,
mm-hmm.
what have been some of the negative issues that we've caused among ourselves?
Well, I think what we see, especially in urban areas, is increased flooding. You know, we see when you send that water onto an impermeable surface, you're getting it there faster and you're getting it there mm-hmm. warmer. And so you have a lot of increased flooding, like we saw in Clive. And being able to treat that water before it gets there is really one of the most important things that you can do. One of the other things that you see is increased nutrient loading. You see a lot of the things coming off of both residential and in urban properties. You have nutrients that from fertilizing, from your yards, from pet waste, from animal waste, they get into those waterways and can really cause a lot of problems, both in terms of public health and in terms of water quality, which is a huge discussion in the
state
right now. EchoSource,
ladies and gentlemen, his name is Darren Fife. He's in the Small Business Spotlight, and we will have a link directly from our radio blog directly to your site so that we can share this information with so many other people. I think this is a great project for you, and you're
I'm
man.
Loving it so far. Yeah, it's been fantastic.
So are you waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning going, oh, what have I got to do tomorrow?
Not quite yet.
Not yet?
No,
I'll wait. I'll give you some time. All right. Small Business Spotlight shines on our good friend Darren Fife. And we will, again, have all of that on. Thanks for doing this.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Yeah,
good stuff. And good luck to your business. Somebody says, okay, I'm unemployable in the corporate world, I'm just going to do this on my own, good for you.
No, I appreciate it.
All right. Good stuff. All right. We've got to step aside. Why? Because we've got the market report coming up. What happened today on Wall Street? We will give you the what, the why, and the where. And that's all coming up next here on the Business News Hour.
She'll never know just how I feel. From out of the shadows, she walks like a dream.